This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Female and Sleep Health channels. We are also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with, once again, Meredith Yardley, Managing Director at MeredithYardley.com, who helps busy women live a life of abundant health and wealth. Meredith is here to speak with us today on the importance of having a good night's sleep. Meredith, certainly great to have you with us here on eHealth Radio.
It's wonderful to be here again. Thank you very much for having me.
And you're more than welcome. The pleasure's ours. So for starters, why is it so important to have a good night's sleep?
Well, scientists are still learning a lot about our need for sleep, but what they do agree on is we need regular, good quality sleep. Among other things, when we sleep, our skin renews and our bodies create hormones such as melatonin, thought to have anti-cancer properties, and human growth hormone, which is our anti-aging hormone. It's also absolutely vital for our brains. When we sleep, our brains go into housekeeping mode. We've got these little things called microglial cells, which review the information from the day, and they keep and strengthen the connections of what's important and prune out the irrelevancies. Studies at the University of Rochester show that our brains use sleep time to clear out any neurotoxin buildup, specifically one called beta amyloid. Lack of sleep can see this toxin build up, and it becomes a bit of a vicious cycle. The more beta amyloid you have in certain parts of your brain, the less deep sleep you get. And the less deep sleep you get, the more this beta amyloid builds up. It's actually pretty serious because it's been found in clumps in the brains of people suffering from Alzheimer's disease. So even if you don't feel sleepy, your brain really needs at least 6 hours of rest so it can go through its housekeeping and neurotoxin buildup cleansing process.
What are some of the reasons people may not sleep well?
Well, there are many reasons, of course. Your listeners may have their own, but these can include pain, reflux, snoring, the insistent need to urinate called nocturia, or the ability to turn off your thinking. Now, Charlotte Bronte had a lovely term for this. A ruffled mind makes a restless pillow. So even she could turn lack of sleep into something poetic. But people suffer from sleepwalking, sleep talking, nightmares, night terrors, even sleep impact. Eating can impact one's ability to sleep well. And people can eat at night without even knowing it. Medication can keep you awake, too much alcohol or coffee. A really bad one, and it's a modern day one, is using IT devices in bed, because the blue backlight that's emitted by our phones and our iPads and our laptops represses the release of melatonin, and we need that melatonin to sleep. And we also have disorders such as arthritis and restless leg syndrome, and respiratory disorders such as nighttime asthma. Bakenol affects sleep. A really big one, of course, is sleep apnea. Many people may not even know that they have it. Sleep apnea is a form of restricted breathing, and this can mean that someone has many little waking up episodes during the night without remembering them. If they do that, they're not following the proper sleep cycle. Scientists call this cycle sleep architecture. And there are two categories under this sleep architecture umbrella. One's the non-REM, or the non-rapid eye movement sleep, and the other's your REM sleep when you dream and your eyes flick around. Your non-REM sleep has four stages. It starts with you being awake, then you move to drowsy, and then you're asleep. And that's the first stage. The next three stages, so your body temperature, your brain waves, blood pressure, all your key indicators, slow down until you're in the dead to the world stage. It's at that stage that your REM or your dreaming kicks in. All these stages form one cycle, and that cycle usually lasts between 90 and 110 minutes. And if you're having really good sleep quality, you would enjoy between 4 and 6 of these whole cycles a night. But if you're suffering from sleep apnea, the cycle's interrupted and your body will be sleep deprived because it hasn't gone through that whole cycle many times.
Also, could there be health implications for continued sleep deprivation?
Oh, absolutely. And some of them are quite surprising. And some people really pride themselves on not having very much sleep. But if one of your listeners, if any of your listeners fall into this category, I would encourage them to listen very carefully to this part, because it is surprising. Studies have shown that a sharp increase of the risk of type 2 diabetes for people suffering from chronic insomnia. High blood pressure risk is increased by 3.5 times among those who routinely sleep less than 6 hours per night. Non-sleepers have consistently higher stress hormones and substances in their bodies that indicate inflammation, and this puts them at risk of cardiovascular disease. Weight gain, obesity, and a compromised immune system can also be the product of poor sleep. A recent study at the University of Chicago showed that those who slept only 4 hours a night had a 28% increase in ghrelin, the body's hunger hormone. The study participants also noticed a 24% increase in appetite, with a preference of foods high in sugar, salt, and starch, all the things that help with weight gain. And studies have found that poor sleep can be an indicator of mental health issues such as depression and anxiety. And of course, the catch-22 there is that if you suffer from depression and anxiety, you'll often have trouble sleeping.
Today, once again, we are speaking with Meredith Yardley, Managing Director at MeredithYardley.com, who helps busy women live a life of abundant health and wealth here on eHealth Radio's female and sleep health channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Meredith, is it just our physical health that is affected here when we have lack of sleep?
Well, no. Poor sleep really affects our brain and our thinking. Sleep deprivation is a well-known tactic employed in military interrogation because it's just so effective. And a recent study from the universities of Washington and Oregon has found a link between the amount of sleep we get and our morality. The study found that sleep-deprived participants scored lower on a moral awareness decision-making study than the control group. And chronic bad sleepers can also suffer from mood swings and irritability. It can make the sufferer more prone to loss of concentration and dozing off at the wheel of a car, which is often known as a microsleep. This, of course, can affect more than just the person who's sleep-deprived.
That is certainly true, Meredith. Lastly, how can listeners improve their sleep?
Well, if your listeners are concerned about any of the physical things I mentioned, like sleep apnea or restless legs or reflux pain, anything like that, I would really recommend a visit to your health professional. But there are some non-medical tips that your listeners could try in the first instance, and I've split them into three groups: preparing your body, preparing your space, and preparing your mind. So I'll look at preparing your body first. It's wise to eat at least 3 hours before retiring, so your body can then concentrate on sleeping, not digesting, when you finally get into bed. If you start to dim the lights 2 hours before you retire, your body gets the idea that you're going to bed soon. Regular exercise, of course, will help tire your body out, but try not to do it too close to bedtime, because it will have the opposite effect for a while and keep you awake. Now, of course, alcohol and coffee are well known to be stimulants and impact sleep. You could try a bath with lavender oil, or, believe it or not, lying on the floor with your legs up the wall can really help you relax. Something to do with blood flow. And as I've said, don't check your electronic devices in bed, because the blue backlight suppresses the production of melatonin we need to sleep. You know, Facebook really can wait until morning. And daylight helps sleep patterns. So try and get some sunlight for at least 30 minutes a day. And that's where you link back to your blue backlight repressing melatonin. In prepping your space, keeping your bedroom cool and dark will aid your sleeping. The other issue with your techno stuff, your phones and your laptops, is that researchers were starting to link the electromagnetic current emitted by these devices with interrupted sleep patterns. So having your phone by your bed as your alarm may not be doing your sleep any good. Do anything like cleaning your teeth or anything you do before getting ready for bed before you dim the lights, so you're not feeling all nice and sleepy and then wake yourself up with that bright bathroom light when you go to clean your teeth. And it's really worthwhile investing in a good mattress and good quality linen and blankets and quilts and duvets and covers and anything that makes your bed welcoming and comforting and somewhere really nice to be, that can really, really help your body. And if your body's starting to relax, hopefully your mind will. But it doesn't always, of course. So to help prep your mind, learning some gentle relaxation techniques such as deep breathing is very good. Or you could try the muscle tension and relax process. You start with your toes and you clench and relax your toes, and you move and clench and relax. Your mind's following your body up this, up your body. Relax and tense and relax your calves, then your thighs, all the way to the top of your head. This has the added bonus of quietening your mind too, because while you're concentrating on tensing and relaxing, you can't sort of keep thinking about ruminating over the day's events. There is a new thing that I've come across recently called the cognitive shuffle, and it's been developed by a Canadian neuroscientist called Luc Badoun. I think I've pronounced that right. I apologise to the professor if I haven't. With this strategy, you think about things that don't make sense. So you picture a random sequence of objects for a few seconds each. So it might be cow, fridge, pen, water bottle, coat. And you just picture those for a few seconds. The thought behind this is that the brain tries to figure out if it's safe to sleep. If you're thinking about stuff that makes sense, then your brain figures it's not safe yet. But by thinking nonsense, your brain can trigger the sleep switch because it knows it's safe to drop off. I love that. But whatever you do, a good night's sleep really is not a luxury. It's vital for your physical and emotional well-being. And I wish your listeners sweet dreams. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome, and we appreciate that. I think I'm about ready to go to bed right now. And Meredith, I'm assuming if folks wanted to be in touch and to get further information, the best place to do that would be MeredithYardley.com, correct?
That's correct, and they can reach me by email at Meredith@MeredithYardley.com. So I've tried to keep it as simple as possible for anyone to get in touch.
Well, Meredith, once again, we certainly appreciate your time. Terrific information and tips on getting better sleep and the importance of our sleep habits as it regards, is in regards to our physical health and other aspects of our life. And certainly look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Have a great one.
Thank you very much, Eric. I'll see you again soon.
And I certainly look forward to that. We have been speaking with Meredith Yardley, Managing Director of MeredithYardley.com, who helps busy women live a life of abundant health and wealth. And once again, for contact and for more information, simply visit MeredithYardley.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Female and Sleep Health Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.